Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's time again for Rocky Mountain TV High. Series Fest, the largest pure TV gathering in the nation, opens its 9th annual undertaking next Friday. Co-founder and chief executive Randy Kleiner joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, Quincy Jones embarks on a new TV quest, that's QWEST. Deep cord breaking at cable's top operators, our classic trivia question, the takeaway of the week, and the TV triumphs of Harry Belafonte. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple and Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and other leading podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Thank you all for joining us on this Friday afternoon, fourth and last of our episodes this week. Happy you're aboard. 53 degrees under gray skies here in the Big Apple at the top of the hour, and we want you involved in our program today. We have a great New York-Denver connection coming up in the hour ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone and then use this number to dial in. It's 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. You can also use our chat room. It's available right now, SimonApple04 by name, and you will find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn screen. Follow those instructions, and other people can be live with you right now. And Randy Kleiner from Series Fest, she will be live with us from the Mile High City, Denver, Colorado, after these news notes. You can now call iconic music composer and entrepreneur Quincy Jones a TV series player. Quest TV, that's QWEST TV, a world music-oriented website and app for mobile phones and tablets, became a 24/7 advertiser-supported service reaching viewers through smart TV products and multi-channel bundles earlier today. Cinedigm's Cineverse bundle is Quest's first distributor with other carriage deals in play. Content lineup features jazz, blues, soul, hip-hop, funk, and world music performances, performer documentaries, interviews, and classic videos. And we have invited the people at Quest to join us for a future episode. The nation's pair of leading cable TV distributors continue to endure big plunges in their cable TV customer bases. Comcast lost 614,000 cable households during the first 3 months of 2023, while Charter Communications, operating under the Spectrum brand, gave up 241,000 subscribers. However, both operators notched increases in their broadband or mobile offerings during this quarterly period. Now time for quickies. Twisted Metal, Peacock's live-action adaptation of the PlayStation video games, starts its TV series course July 27th. Roku's relationship with Kevin Hart expands later this year when season 2 of Kevin Hart's Muscle Car Crew changes lanes from Motor Trend Television to the Roku channel. Hart is already set to run a third Roku season of action comedy Die Hard. BET Awards 2023 will take place June 25th, live from Los Angeles. The ceremony will pay tribute to a half century of hip-hop music. All Black will leap into the legal drama series arena with Judge Me Not, starting May 25th. Judge Lynn Toler, you may remember her from such programs as Divorce Court, created the series, which stars Chyna Lane as a judge dealing with a variety of issues in and beyond the halls of justice. Breaking news, about 1.3 million viewers watched the final Late Late Show episode hosted by James Corden on CBS last night. As you may know, Late Late Show will continue in reruns for a short while, then be replaced by a revival of the former Comedy Central Chris Hardwick series at midnight. Dakota and Ella Fanning will join production company Forces for Mastermind, a true crime documentary miniseries. Hulu will carry the program, focused on FBI behavioral science specialist Dr. Ann Burgess. And Rescue Heiser, the John Wells overseen lifeguard drama series prospect we feature in yesterday's news note segment, has landed a home on Fox. Fox and Warner Brothers Television, where Wells has an overall production contract, will co-produce the series, expected to run in primetime during the 2023-24 season. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Denver, Colorado, the home of the 9th annual edition of Series Fest that begins 1 week from today, we are delighted to welcome back to this program the co-founder and chief executive, Randy Kleiner. Randy, welcome back. It is great to have you. Go ahead, Randy. You're on. Hold on for one moment. Let's see if we've got Randy. Randy, are you there? For some reason, She got off the line. Randy, if you can hear me, get back on the line. We have you. We're live. All right, we're going to hold on for a moment, and we will get Randy back on the line momentarily. As I mentioned, this is the fourth and last of four episodes we are doing this week, and we did four rather than our usual two or three because of what's coming up next week, New Fronts, taking place from the Interactive Advertising Bureau here in New York, May 1st to the 4th. We had one of the key people from IAB talk about New Front on yesterday's program. If you missed it, you go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Eric John is the person. Or check our websites and our podcast locations. And we should let you know that we will be with you on Friday, what we hope will be either an hour, 90-minute, or two-hour episode. Remember back in March, we showcased a project called Rewarded.tv. It's a service where you can earn rewards for how much you watch and what you watch of that service. Well, on next Friday's episode, you're going to meet the chief executive officer of a company called Invincible Entertainment. They run a number of channels available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and now they've come up with a multi-channel bundle which will pay you for watching their programming and pay you more if you talk that programming up on social media. His name is Thomas Ashley, the Chief Executive Officer, and he will be with us 1 week from today, exclusively here on Tomorrow We Televise. Let's see if Randy Kleiner is finally with us. Randy, are you there? Hello, Randy. Hang on for a second. Let's see if Randy is on board. Randy, speak up. You're live. All right, Randy, if you can hear me, for some reason you're not coming through. So I'm going to mute the line, dial back in at 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see you're back on the computer, on my computer, we will pick you up. And I apologize to all of you. There's some sort of technical bug, apparently, that has come into play, walked into our program somehow, some way, or bugged into our program somehow, some way. So, Randy, give us a call back, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you're ready, we will have you back. As a matter of fact, I think Randy may finally be with us. Let's see. Okay, Randy, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are loud and clear. Randy, it's great to have you back. Welcome back in.
Thank you so much.
What's the environment like for Series Fest Edition 9?
Wow, we are so excited and anticipated. We're 1 week out. We can't believe it for launch of Season 9. You know, I think really, after coming out of the pandemic, we were live and in person last year, but really building on the incredible momentum from last year. And all the excitement and everything that's happening, you can just feel this real, real energy and buzz around the festival this year. And I believe we have one of our strongest lineups ever, and we're ready to go.
For everybody that's there, are they getting a sense, as some of us who are covering the TV field, that because smart TV sets and smart device and multi-channel bundles are introducing all these new channels all over the place, some with scripted intentions, many with unscripted, they're being put together by people of color, like the Quincy Jones channel that just got started today through Cinedigm, that the folks who are going to be showcasing series pilots have a better shot, or the best shot they've ever had, to perhaps finally join the television parade.
Absolutely. I mean, I think there are so many more opportunities to get work distributed, and I think executives are really looking at that new voice, that new emerging voice, find really new and creative and diverse stories. It's a really exciting time. And, you know, and I think that's why so many executives from, you know, whether they're some of these new channels or from the major, you know, stations like Netflix, CNN, Nat Geo, NBC, Peacock are coming to Series Fest looking for new content. As well as branded content is becoming a big thing. I mean, we're doing a whole panel on branded content, and we're showcasing some branded content from Adobe, from WeTransfer, I mean, from places you wouldn't think or imagine that, you know, they're putting money behind content and stories, and they are behind both television and film.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into what's going to be running this year, starting a week from today, talk about what some of the alumni are doing. Apparently this year, particularly in the last couple of months, there's been a lot of movement. For example, Cooper's Bar, which is a series that was a major winner in 3 years ago, that became a short-form series on AMC, starring Rhea Seehorn from Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, is now becoming a series on IFC later this year, a full half-hour series. And that's just one of the alumni success stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're so excited. You know, they were greenlit for a season one that went out on AMC Plus, as you mentioned. They have a great season two and continuing to expand. There's a great series that was on Hulu called Everyone's Doing Great. We're actually bringing back James Lafferty and Stephen Coletti. You may know them from the hit show One Tree Hill. They're back with season two of Everyone's Doing Great. And we're really seeing a lot of success from our creators and in multiple ways. Sometimes their shows are going on to, you know, we have shows on HBO Max and in development with Warner Brothers. Sometimes these writers are getting staffed on already, you know, produced big shows and really moving their careers forward. A lot of them come and they get representation out of the festival. They may get a manager or an agent. So, you know, seeing a lot of success from the independent community.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest winners that you had in the history of Series Fest was 6 years ago, where a very unique pilot called Up North, which we covered with its creator, won big. It got a development deal with Byron Allen through his Entertainment Studios unit. Byron was in town for the first time with an upfront event on Wednesday, really terrific. He, however, did not say a lot about what is going on with Up North. I understand that Emil Pinnick, who we had on the program, who created Up North, now has a new project going on with Blumhouse Television. Can you give us an update on A, Up North, and B, what Emil is up to?
Yes, I can absolutely – I can give you the information I know. You know, with Up North, it was such an exciting story. I know Byron Allen really backed and supported the project. It was unfortunately one of those things where – COVID affected production. They were supposed to be going into production. They had gone through the writer's room. They were going into production. COVID hit. It kind of stalled everything. I know that there's still a lot of energy around that series. But in between that, while that stalled, you know, a little bit as they're trying to figure out who the right partner is to get it off the ground into production, I mean, Emil's career has just absolutely taken off. He, as you mentioned, he got a blind right out of Series Fest, given his successes up north. He got a blind script deal with Blumhouse. He's working on several other movies and series. He is actually going to be coming back out to Series Fest this year. He's working with a new company called Orbit Media. That's a Sony company that really helps develop a pipeline from podcast to television. He has a new podcast called The Giant Podcast. I mean, his career is really just taken off.
Mm-hmm. Well, please let Emil know that we would love to have him back on and talk about what's going on with Up North, about Orbit Media, about this project with Blumhouse Television working on. By the way, we have let Byron Allen and his gang know we'd love to have him on for a full hour to talk about what's coming up. And he's got a lot of irons in the fire. Trust me, a lot of irons. And you can read about the upfront event he did here in New York at MediaVillage.com. That story was filed and posted yesterday. So check that out, MediaVillage.com. And again, Byron, we'd love to have you on, and we will ask you about Up North and what is going on with that. Randy Kleiner, the co-founder and chief executive of Series Fest, she is our guest this half hour on the Marvin Televised Live from Series Fest location, the Mile High City of Denver, Colorado. Happy to have you with us also on this Friday afternoon. Time to have fun with you live from New York. 53 degrees at the top of the hour. Want to hear from you. Give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And this is one of two segments we'll be doing on Series Fest, as is our annual tradition. We will have the winners of the Independent Pilot Competition, which we're going to talk about shortly. We'll have the Best Drama, Comedy, Unscripted winner. They will join us here on this program in an exclusive segment. So stay tuned for that. That's coming up next month, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. And we'll let you know when it happens right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. And Randy, speaking of that competition, I think you have a new record, 55 at least, of these independent pilots that they're going to be showcased at the festival starting on Friday, and they come from all different backgrounds and quite a few overseas nations, too.
Absolutely. You know, it really at the heart of our mission and why Kaylee, my co-founder, and I started Series Fest is really wanting to give an opportunity to give new and diverse and emerging creators a discovery platform, an opportunity to connect with established executives and help move their careers and projects forward. And as you mentioned, we have 55 incredible new independently produced and financed pilots from all over the world. The creators will be joining us out in person for screenings, for networking opportunities. We set them up with meetings And we just have, in my opinion, one of the strongest lineups that we've had, and we're so excited to welcome out this batch of creators this year.
Your festival this year is starting off in a very unusual way next Friday night with two very interesting showcases. One is the upcoming CNN docuseries, the 2010s, which Bank of America and United Airlines are going to be co-sponsoring. And the other is a screening with a panel and it's a world premiere of a new series that I had not heard about before called Hitman Secrets of Lies. It sounds like a crime version of Route 66. Tell us about both situations and why you decided to start off the festival that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So first of all, our first screening with Hitman. Hitman is created by Elias Plagianos, who's an alumni. It's actually an independent series. It stars Richard Kind, who will be with us in person, along with Karen Allen and Peter Reichert. It is absolutely kind of a mystery thriller pilot. We're so excited to have not only Elias, Richard, the producers out with us in person. We really wanted to open with both a big independent pilot, as well as our official opening night, as you mentioned, will be CNN's The 2010s, a part of their decade series. We actually, back several years ago, we showcased the 90s, their music episode at Red Rocks Amphitheater, and had Lauryn Hill, Kamanin, and Vogue all perform. So we're super excited to bring back the Mark Herzog, one of the executive producers. He'll be joined by another executive producer, along with Orange is the New Black star, Alicia Reiner, for a big Q&A, and we're really excited to showcase the series that we've just, been huge supporters of and love. And the episode that we're showing, it's a double episode all about hit TV of the 2010s. And what's really cool about it is many of those series that they promote and showcase, we actually premiered at SiriusFest. So they do a whole section on Mr. Robot, which we did the world premiere of back in 2015. So I think it's going to be just a real fun celebration for CNN, of the series, of the show, and of SiriusFest overall, as we look back.
And incidentally, Randy, for those who don't know, Sam Esmail, the brilliant creator of Mr. Robot, which I think is one of the best TV series of recent years, certainly one of USA's best scripted series ever, and of course the Emmy-winning performance by Rami Malek, who has gone on to other fantastic things, that he's working on a new version of Metropolis, a new miniseries version of that for Apple TV+. He's got some other projects in the works, and hopefully we'll see them soon. In terms of Hitman, Richard Kind, for those who may know, was, of course, one of the co-stars of Spin City with Michael J. Fox. He is currently one of the co-stars of East New York, which is shot here in New York. We are waiting to worry whether we'll go to a second season. It's Sunday nights on CBS. Do we know what the status is with Hitman? Has it gotten a deal to become a series? Is there hope that at SiriusFest you might be able to line up some talks to become a series? What is the status?
That's the plan. I mean, we're the world premiere of Hitman. It was, again, shot all independently. So we are going to be working closely with Elias and the producers to help get it out there, get press, get promotion, get meetings. And we hope it gets picked up.
Talk about some of the panels that you've got. It's really an incredible range of panels. You mentioned one of them dealing with podcasts and the possibility of turning podcasts into TV series. What are some of the other interesting dots coming up between May 5th and 10th?
Yeah, one of the panels I'm really excited about is called Actors with Disabilities Making Their Mark in Hollywood and What More Needs to be Done, presented in partnership with the Anna and John C. Foundation and the Global Down Syndrome Foundation, along with SAG-AFTRA. We have just an incredible group of multi-hyphenates, including Sue Ann Pien, Lolo Spencer, Madison Tevlin. You may have recognized some of these actors from Sex Lives of College Girls, As We See It, Champions, as well as the casting director, Amber Horn. And what's amazing about these women is that they have worked both in front of and behind the camera. Be surprised how many of them are writing, consulting, producing, supporting. And I think that in the television space, there certainly has been a lot that has been done to really support the disabled community, but there's still a lot more to be done. And I think it's an incredibly important conversation. I think it's very timely and one that I'm personally looking forward to as an example. One of my other favorite panels I can't wait for, every year we do a signature showrunner panel and we do a themed one. Last one we did all female showrunners. This year we're doing a spotlight on comedy showrunners. We have Meredith Scardino from Girls 5 Eva, Jay Serrano with his new show Primo, which we're also premiering at SiriusFest from Amazon Freebie. So Phil Augusta Jackson, you may know from Insecure, and he has his new show on NBC Peacock, Grand Crew. Sam Means, who has the new show on Netflix, Mulligan, and Gloria Calderon-Kelley with Love, a new Prime Video show. So we have just five dynamic showrunners that have created some of your favorite shows. Two of them were major writers on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And I think it's just going to be a really enlightening and fun conversation about, you know, how these shows get created, their careers, and how you break into the industry and what a showrunner really does. Because, you know, they really are the linchpin to any series.
One of the big sessions involving a major television executive is going to happen on Monday, May 8th, when Wade Davis, the chief executive of Televisa Univision, the leading Spanish language network, is going to be there, along with Mike Fries from Liberty Global. One of the ongoing controversies with Univision has been the non-ability to produce Spanish language weekly scripted or daily scripted series produced in the United States, featuring Latino talent on all sides of the camera. Is Davis going to be questioned about that, and do you think he will address the issue?
Well, you know, ultimately, you know, Mike Fries is in control of that conversation, but he certainly doesn't shy away from asking the hard questions, and I think there's going to be a lot of focus on that, a lot of focus on what they're doing. They've really transformed what they're doing in the streaming space. So I think, you know, I think it will get some enlightening conversation. There'll absolutely be a focus on not only what they're doing internationally, but what's happening here in the United States. And I'm glad you brought up that program. That's a big, you know, our innovation talks, which are kind of our one-on-one conversations, are our version of keynotes. So not only do we have Wade Davis, we have Catherine Busby, the president of original programming at Starz, and we have Adam Lewinson, the chief content officer at Tubi, as well, that will also do conversations and really get to understand you know, their point of view of the kind of what's happening in this rapidly evolving television landscape.
Mm-hmm. Earlier this week, we had an exclusive interview on Tuesday's episode with Susanna Fogel, the executive producer and the head director of the new National Geographic Channel miniseries, A Small Light, which will be launching May 1st, not only National Geographic, but we've learned that Nat Geo Wild and Lifetime will simulcast the premiere episodes, and then the next day will run on Hulu and Disney Plus. I'm happy to say that it will be getting a screening on May 9th, and Tony Phelan and Joan Rader, the writer and showrunners of A Small Light, and I'm hearing a lot of good things about that program. There could be some Emmy Award nominations in store for that series when they're announced in June or July. It is going to be screened on May 9th, and it's going to have a panel following it. Have you seen it, by the way? And if so, what do you think of A Small Light?
I've seen it, and it's phenomenal. And one of the reasons that we really wanted to showcase this series at the festival is it's one of the most beautifully shot series I've seen in a long time, and it deserves to be seen in a theater with state-of-the-art video and sound. I just think that the experience to see it in the theater, to see it with a community, with an audience of people, and then, of course, to get to talk to Tony and Joan afterwards, it's going to be a really exciting event, and I'm certainly looking forward to it.
And if you'd like to hear the interview we did with Susanna Fogel, who was just absolutely marvelous. By the way, she won an Emmy nomination for directing The Flight Attendant on HBO Max, soon to be Max, next month. She also won Directors Guild of America Award for directing The Flight Attendant. Catch our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our podcast, as well as our website, SwabbyTelevised.com. Unshameless plug. And I'm looking forward to seeing that show premiere. Again, May 1st, it will be on Nat Geo, plus Nat Geo Wild and Lifetime. They will simulcast the first episodes, and then the next day, it will be running on Disney Plus and Hulu, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. Brandi Kleiner, the co-founder and chief executive of SiriusXM, which kicks off 1 week from today in Denver, Colorado. She's our guest this half hour on Swabby Televised. Tom Rabban with you live from the web of New York. If a question or comment on our many moments with Brandi, make the call. Do it, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, we'll have our classic trivia question of the week. We'll have our takeaway of the week. Look out, folks. There's a big May in store, and we'll have the TV triumphs of Harry Belafonte. So watch out for that, all coming up in our next half hour. Since Series Fest has grown to where it is, we are seeing other TV festivals, like what is going on with ATX in Austin, Texas, and ATV in Atlanta, prosper. We are seeing more film festivals include television entries, whether it's Tribeca here in New York in June, whether it's festivals in Los Angeles, other parts of the country. What do you think first about all of that happening, that film festivals are adopting television series pilots and other TV work.
Listen, I understand why, because I think the blend of, you know, there's really, the lines are really starting to blur between television and film. And, you know, it's been often said now that, you know, some, you know, an HBO executive said to me once, we make 10-hour movies, you know, so I understand why it's happening. I think for us, though, our, you know, we are only television. So even with these film festivals doing maybe, you know, dabbing their toe, so to speak, into TV, you know, I think that it's really our main focus. So we do something a little different. And to me, I believe that the more opportunities there are, then the more creators will go out there and make pilots. And that's the most important thing. So I'm happy that places like Sundance and South by Southwest get out there and you know, give opportunities for independent pilots. We partner with South by Southwest. We've had a great partnership with them. We partner with Cannes Series in France. So, you know, we're really looking to build that community. I think that's very important for us. And I think what distinguishes Series Fest from the other festivals that you mentioned is we're really industry focused. And, you know, we really have a lot of executives and talent that come out. There's a marketplace element here. People are really looking to network and have business as well as celebrate what's happening in the industry.
On the other end of the spectrum, Randy, it has been almost five years, since the last New York Television Festival. They were supposed to do a festival in 2019, didn't do it. They decided to postpone in 2020, then pandemic and so forth. I've said this before on this program, other places. I think it is embarrassing that the biggest city in the United States, which had a festival that really introduced everyone to the independent television movement and was responsible for Series Fest and the other TV festivals that have grown up around the country, that's not happening. We still don't know what's gone on. We have not heard from Terrence Gray and Erin Day, the co-founders of the festival. Two-part question. Have you heard from them? And secondly, is there any way that Series Fest can help get the New York TV Festival back on its feet?
Those are great questions. I have not heard from Terrence, you know, who we used to keep in communication with. I've been to that festival. I was supportive of that festival. I was very, very sad to see that festival sort of disappear off the scene. And, you know, absolutely, I think, you know, we've, as part of our growth year round, we've really started to do events in other places. We do events in LA. We've done events in Toronto. We do events in Austin, Chicago. And I think we've been definitely contemplating what kind of event we could do in New York. We certainly have done events in the past in New York, but absolutely. So many of our creators are from New York. Also, I'm from New York. You know, I lived in New York for many years. I love it there personally, but I definitely think it's a miss not to have something on the New York scene. And you know, Tribeca is doing a little bit of it. So I think they've taken some of that, but that's mostly focused on network things. You know, would really certainly feels like a missed opportunity for the city and ripe for some kind of event.
To be clear, Randy, yes, Tribeca is back on the scene with a lot of TV stuff, including TV pilots. I believe they're doing like four or five pilots under the Tribeca Now banner. And it's great that what was IFP in Gotham mixes film and TV in, also showing pilots. And it would be wonderful to get the New York Television Festival as a pure TV festival back up and running. Somebody, I think, should step up and do this, whether it is Andy Castillo and the people at the Mayor's Office of Media Entertainment, the main New York production folks, somebody has got to take the ball and get this back. Again, I think it's embarrassing that we don't have it, and it's time to bring it back. Now this pandemic is over, it's really time to bring it back. And that's my two cents on that. Something else you're doing, and I want to make sure we got this in before you leave us, Randy, is you're doing a reading of a pilot on one of the nights. Talk about that.
I'm so happy you brought that back. One of our signature programs that we launched when we founded Series Fest was called our Storytellers Writing Competition that really focused on scripts and emerging writers' scripts. We have had different partners throughout the years. We have worked with Propagate Content and Silverman's Company. And this year we had an amazing partner in Janelle Monae and her company, Wonderland. They chose a winning script called Soul City. And we will be doing a live read of that winning script with professional actors. It's going to be led by Jocko Sims from New Amsterdam. Denzel Whitaker, who you may know from Pink Panther, is flying out to direct it. We just have an incredible cast. And I think it's a really unique event and something that we do very different. You know, that's a unique event to Series Fest. It's always really fun to get to hear it out loud and see it in this way and get to see it first, you know. you know, as it starts its journey.
The 9th Annual Series Fest takes place starting 1 week from today, May 5th, runs to May 10th at various venues throughout Denver, Colorado. If you want more details about the festival online, here's where you go, www.seriesfest.com. That's www.seriesfest.com. And are tickets still available for many or most of the events, Randy?
Absolutely. There's all different ways that you can get access to Series Fest. You can buy individual tickets. You can buy passes, whether you just want to come to see a couple of the events, whether you want full access to all of our events, parties, to our big Red Rocks event, which we barely touched on, which will be headlined by Chelsea Handler. And Joel McHale will be joining her. That's going to be a really exciting event. So if you go to seriesfest.com, you can find all the information there. And we hope you'll join us because it's a true celebration of everything happening in TV. You'll meet new people, and hopefully you'll learn something too.
It's a great event. And again, for all details online and order tickets to www.seriesfest.com. And once we find out who the independent pilot competition winners from those 55 entries are, we will invite some of the winners to join us for a special Tomorrow Be Televised segment, which is our annual custom when we deal with TV festivals, and we hope to do that sometime next month. Randy, it is always a pleasure to have you on. Congratulations on how you and all your team have made this festival the biggest and best when it comes to pure TV festivals in the nation. Have a great time starting next Friday, and we look forward to, again, having the winners on down the road and having you back sooner than later.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, and have a great rest of your day.
You too, and a fantastic weekend. You and your team, all the greatest.
Thank you.
Randy Kleiner, the co-founder and chief executive of Series Fest 2023, taking place 1 week from today, May 5th to the 10th in Denver, Colorado. When we come back, our final shot at our current classic trivia question, our takeaway of the week, get ready for, strap yourselves in for an amazing May ahead, and the TV triumphs of Harry Belafonte. Wait till you hear. For example, how Belafonte's TV career started. You will be very surprised because he did one of the first television series ever in the medium's existence. That's all coming up after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reaching over 80 main listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out the Daytime Emmy Awards tonight on the latest edition of Daytime After Dark. That's tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Daytime Emmy Awards will be playing in June on CBS. Find out about the nominations, which took place, were announced all throughout this week. That's on Daytime After Dark, tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, Best BTR always available 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Avon with you live from New York. Happy to have you with us wherever you are around the USA or around the world. And we still want to hear from you. Any thoughts about Series Fest? Any thoughts about the world of television? And about Harry Belafonte and his wonderful TV work and the rest of his sensational and very important career? Give us a call, 646-652-2906. We'll use our chat room, SimonApple04. Also coming up, our takeaway of the week, a whale of a May. But first, our final shot at our current classic trivia question. If you're first with the correct answer, you will win retroactive television, an in-depth perspective on classic TV, social circuitry, fantastic new book by our recent TWT guest, Herbie J. Pilato, who, by the way, the episode he is on, it looks like that will be our most popular episode, at least on Blog Talk Radio, this about-to-pass month of April 2023. So, again, that book can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the 1978 NBC miniseries co-starring Robert Conrad, Richard Chamberlain, David Janssen, and Sally Kellerman. Two clues, it is based on American history, and it was based on a best-selling novel by one of the great ones, James A. Michener. Again, name the 1978 NBC miniseries that co-stars Robert Conrad, Richard Chamberlain, Sally Kellerman, and David Janssen. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're living. And the first with the correct answer, you will win retroactive television. If you are a previous winner of this trivia segment or a TWBT guest, you are not eligible. One more time, last time we're doing it, here is the question. Name the 1978 NBC miniseries co-starring Robert Conrad, Richard Chamberlain, David Janssen, and Sally Kellerman. One more time, the two clues. It's American history-oriented, and it's based on a best-selling novel by James A. Mitchner, one of the best novelists around. So email me if you know the answer, simonapple04@yahoo.com. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we will post the question online over the weekend, starting tomorrow morning, on Facebook and Twitter. Facebook at Simon Applebaum, Twitter at UBC Simon, TWBT. And because we are not going to have an episode again until next Friday, we will take a break in terms of interesting a new question. We'll have a brand new question 1 week from Monday. But see if we can get a winner for this one. We're still going for our second weekly winner in 3 weeks, and it can be you. Got to put your TV trivia head together and get your entry in ASAP. So do so. As we like to say around here, in order to win, you got to play in. So do so, and all the very best. And now it's time for our regular Friday feature, the takeaway of the week, where we showcase a development or trend that pops up during the week that we think is going to impact how you watch and use television down the road. And our takeaway this week is actually anticipation of what is coming your way next month. We call it a whale of a May. You remember in Camelot, that great Broadway and film musical, Julie Andrews in the Broadway musical opposite Richard Burton, and Vanessa Redgrave opposite Richard Harris sang the song, The Lusty Month of May. It's May, it's May, the lusty month of May. I'll tell you something. It is shaping up that way. You can make an argument that this month ahead could be one of the most transformational months, one of the most impactful months in television history. Because so much is going to happen that may very well shift in big ways where TV is going. It all starts with next week's Interactive Advertising Bureau New Fronts. And we are expecting a lot of announcements over Monday through Thursday of next week. It all starts out with YouTube on Monday, Vizio, the smart TV set maker, and Amazon, which will be doing their thing on Monday night. And then in the days ahead, there will be presentations from Samsung, from LG, from Roku, from Peacock, from Condé Nast, from Vivo, the music video service. TikTok is having a presentation, which unfortunately press will not be allowed to get into. And a whole bunch of other folks. We're expecting major announcements on new series, on new channels, on maybe interactive advertising, possibility of shoppable services or shoppable advertising. There's a lot that's going to go down between May 1st and 4th that is really going to impact the medium. We will be covering that event in full for Media Village starting hopefully Monday or Tuesday of next week. So keep your eye on MediaVillage.com. I'll be going back and forth between events and home to write my stories and then get them posted. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And that's just the first week of May. Then we have other events taking place here in New York the second week of May, including the Interactive Ad Viewers podcast Upfront on May 11th, where we hope to find out, among other things, how many of the podcasters are trying to put together a new series for television off their podcast. And one of the, by the way, presenters this year is The Daily Wire, which we understand has now taken their Daily Wire Plus, which was only available on the web. It has now become a smart TV service. We hope to meet with the Daily Wire people and find out what's going on, and we are trying to get them on this program. And if you haven't heard the news, Blaze Media, the folks behind the Blaze, they are now getting into the scripted television game with made-for-TV movies, scripted comics, probably scripted dramas. They just hired somebody to handle that. I saw the item in Deadline Hollywood Daily yesterday. So we'll see if they come out of the light at some point and talk about what they're up to in the world of scripted TV. That is going to be a very interesting time. We will be covering that as well for Media Village. And in addition, I will be roaming around that event, which is an all-day event, and we're going to try to see if we can make arrangements with some of the podcasters that don't take our program currently to take the program currently, and maybe even do some advertising deals as well. So we'll keep you posted on that. So that should be quite interesting. And then the following week, third full week of May, we've got the big week of Super Upfront events, starting with NBC Universal, continuing with Fox, with Telemundo, with Televisa Univision. We've got Disney happening on Wednesday. We've got Warner Bros. Discovery, the first ever Netflix Upfront event in New York at their Paris Theater, which they own, not far from Central Park. And also we have got YouTube with their brandcast And then the CW will have a press conference. We'll finally find out what's going on with the CW, and we'll get the hint about the new schedule under the new owners at Nexstar. That will be on Thursday. And who knows, we may still get somebody coming in before that week is done. So it's going to be a very tumultuous first few weeks, if not the entire month of May. Look for a lot of announcements. Look for a lot of very interesting things going on. We're hearing about maybe some interactive ventures coming to play. There are some networks that we've talked about in recent weeks, such as the Kevin Garnett venture that is supposed to break loose maybe before the month is out. So it's going to be huge, huge, huge. And we will try to cover as much for you here on Tomorrow Be Televised and certainly at Media Village through www.mediavillage.com. So that's our takeaway of the week. There's a lot of very impactful things happening in the TV industry, and it may all come together with a lot of events happening this week, this month ahead, starting with the Interactive Ad Bureau New Fronts, which run from May 1st to the 4th. If you want to know more about the New Fronts and the podcast upfronts, go to their website, iab.com. And if you want to check in our episode we did yesterday with Eric John, he is the head of the Interactive Ad Bureau's Media Center. He was he's vice president of that project, and he was a marvelous guest yesterday. Do go to our homepage, blossofcreator.com/televised. Check out our podcast. Check out our website through On Podium, tomorrowbetelevised.com. I think you'll find the interview we did with him yesterday very enlightening, very engaging, and he had a lot to say about how both of these events, New Fronts, Podcast Upfront, could determine some major future courses for TV and how you watch and use television in the future. By now, the whole world knows that earlier this week, one of the great entertainment forces in the last century, that's 20th and 21st century included, Harry Belafonte, passed away at the age of 96 here in New York from congestive heart failure with his family and some of his friends by his side. Harry Belafonte was one of the most multiply talented entertainers ever. He could sing all sorts of music, especially jazz, blues, and calypso. World music. He was really one of the first world music artists. He was a terrific actor in everything from Carmen Jones to Island in the Sun to Buck and the Preacher and Uptown Saturday Night. He could do comedy, he could do drama, and he always seemed to have in his films a social issue edge, an issue dealing somehow, some way with civil rights, as in, for example, his great film noir from the late 1950s, Odds Against Tomorrow, or his early 1960s movie, The World, The Flesh, and the Devil, which was shot for the most part here in New York City. And, yes, there was television. And just like the rest of his career, it was tinged, fueled his ruthless compassion and his passion for civil rights, for freedom and justice for all. Did some research on Wikipedia and other sources earlier today, and there's a lot about Harry Belafonte's TV career that will surprise you, starting with this. He was part of one of the earliest television series in the medium's existence back in 1949. He was a co-star of a variety series that ran under various names, ultimately settling on Sugar Hill Times, produced in New York, and it was also the first all African-American, black, all with people of color variety series on television. It only ran 5 episodes, despite a major attempt to keep it going. A few years later, Belafonte went on The Ed Sullivan Show, early known as Toast the Town, probably the longest-running variety show in television history. This was in 1953 or 1954. And then, after making the variety show circuit here in New York on programs like The Steve Allen Show, Ed Sullivan's program, also Nat King Cole's variety series on NBC, in 1959, Belafonte headed and co-produced his own special, Revlon Review, Tonight with Belafonte. The guest was the great folk singer Odetta. She did solo songs, also did at least one duet on the special with Belafonte. The show was nominated for an Emmy Award for Best Variety series of special. And Belafonte became one of the first performers of color to win an Emmy Award for Best Performance in a Variety Show or Special. Absolutely amazing. In the 1960s, Belafonte made appearances on a number of different television specials, co-starring with the likes of Julie Andrews, Lena Horne, the international singer Nadia Mikorski, and in a very famous situation, Petula Clark. It was a groundbreaking special that had a lot of furor. Why? Because at one point in that special, Petula took her hand and touched Belafonte's shoulder. It would seem innocuous now, and in 1968, it made big news. In fact, sponsor of the special, whose company will be nameless, actually went to the network to say, I want this taken out. He was overruled. And the special won kudos, tremendous ratings, and awards. In 1968, specifically February 5th and the 9th, Harry Belafonte became one of the first substitute hosts for The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson on NBC. His guests had an incredible week, including Martin Luther King and Senator Robert Kennedy, and who knew that they would make appearances on Belafonte's The Tonight Show before they were assassinated later that year, each under different circumstances. Really amazing. Incidentally, tapes of Belafonte's run on the Tonight Show have surfaced in recent months, and I believe they now can be seen on YouTube. Belafonte did a marvelous job and is now considered a major step in his television career and certainly part of television history as a breakthrough. In 1974, Belafonte was featured with Marlo Thomas in the award-winning special Free to Be, You and Me on ABC. And later that decade, in 1978, Belafonte was a guest on The Muppet Show, the syndicated series with Jim Henson's Muppets. In addition to singing Deo, he also sang a spiritual called Turn the World Around, which featured Muppets in various African costumes. Jim Henson, the creator of The Muppets, was so moved by that segment, he considered it up till his death the best episode of The Muppet Show ever. In fact, when Henson passed away, Belafonte sang Turn the World Around at his funeral. In 1981, Belafonte did his first made-for-TV movie, an acclaimed movie called Gremlins White Tiger. And in 1999, he did another made-for-TV movie called Swing Vote, where he played an associate justice of the Supreme Court. In 1989, he was given the Kennedy Center Honors. And, of course, that special was seen over the holiday season on CBS. And in 1968, taped an episode of the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour. It was an episode that was going to feature him singing a Mardi Gras song with footage of the riots from the 1968 Democratic National Convention that summer from Chicago playing in the background. CBS canned the segment, never ran the episode. But ultimately, when the Smothers Brothers Comedy Hour went into syndication, that episode finally aired. That was in 1993. And there were other great highlights of Belafonte's career. In 1985, participating in We Are the World, which raised money in so many ways. And he was also doing the Live Aid concert performance as well that year. And in 2006, he was given the humanitarian honor at the BET Awards that late spring. In 2000, he also was featured in the Spike Lee miniseries When the Levees Broke, dealing with life in New Orleans. And that was one of his final appearances in any fashion on television. Throughout his TV exploits, as he was in film, as he was in music, concerts, his theater productions, and much more, Harry Belafonte always was able to mark his commitment to the rights of all people to lead the freest and most self-expressive lives around. And he was committed, whether it was film or television, to be more than just a performer, to have a say in the actual production, which he did. A lot of people don't know, but Odds Against Tomorrow, which has been seen regularly on Turner Classic Movies and was featured as part of Eddie Muller's series Noir Alley, that Belafonte was a co-producer and a co-funder of the film. And I had the chance last night to see an interview he taped for a series called Great Conversations, where he was face-to-face with Danny Glover, the star of the Leaping Weapon movies. His claim to fame was being a gang leader on Hill Street Blues in the second season. Wonderful episode, still one of his best performances ever. And Belafonte, if you can get a chance to see this episode, he was absolutely wonderful, very funny, very touching, to talk about his early exploits in different media, from television to film to theater. He even talked about the fact that he, in his own way, was responsible for Sidney Poitier breaking through in films opposite Richard Widmark in the now classic movie No Way Out, which had a civil rights social issue plotline. In fact, Poitier and Belafonte were the best of friends, and their paths and their careers crisscrossed all over the place over the decades. When you see Harry Belafonte perform on television, or hear him talk on television, or his acting on television, you get that wonderful, not only joy of performance, his joy in music, but he also tried to make sure that whatever performance he did, he brought that theme of educating us all about having civil, just rights for all human beings on this world. He did it every time. He struck a home run every time. There will be nobody else like him ever. However, there will be people inspired by Harry Belafonte, moved by Harry Belafonte, who certainly will make their mark in fostering a more just and civil and amazing world. And boy, do we need that now. One more thing before we go. On Wednesday night, along with a lot of other people, I had the wonderful opportunity to make a difference with the folks at Dancing Classrooms. Some of you know that I've been taking ballroom dancing now for more than 30 years. I also do flamenco too. And I've had a wonderful relationship with the people at Dancing Classrooms, the organization that teaches kids, public school kids, here in New York and around the nation and also in parts of the world, not only how to ballroom dance, but how to be with, appreciate, and respect each other. It is one of the best organizations of its kind. And, of course, they were the subjects of the great documentary Manhunt Ballroom and the film with Antonio Banderas that dramatized their work, Take the Lead. Dancing Classrooms raised a lot of money on Wednesday night with their annual Mad Hot Ball Gala. And I wish you could have been there. It was really something special. A lot of joy, a lot of inspiration, and a wonderful orchestra led by Paul Errico, getting everybody on their feet and dancing with joy and full-out love. And I want you to know that there is still an opportunity for you to make a contribution to Dancing Classrooms. There is a matching gift program that is currently underway where whatever you give will be matched to make more wonderful advocates and more wonderful outreaches of what Dancing Classrooms does available not only here in New York, but all around the country and all around the world. And all you got to do to make that contribution is go to dancingclassrooms.org. That's dancingclassrooms.org. It is a wonderful institution. It was co-founded by that great ballroom dance and dance couple, Pierre Delane and Yvonne Marceau, who created American Ballroom Theater. They're still at it, and they have bequeathed their organization to some wonderful people headed by Executive Director Nancy Cleaver. So thanks to everybody involved for a wonderful time. It was a blast. And one more thing about Dancing Classrooms. I had the chance to meet the co-host of that event, Michaela Melosi, who does a series that's available on NYC Life, Channel 25, every week called Bare Feet in NYC. It's also carried on PBS stations around the country. I'm happy to tell you that her program has been renewed for season 4. It will run in June 1st on NYC Life here in the Big Apple, and then in the fall go on PBS stations. I had a chance to talk to Michaela on Wednesday night. She would love to come on the program, this program, and talk about the new season, and we're going to make it happen. So keep tuned for that. As soon as we get the dates in June when NYC Live, Channel 25, will run. Incidentally, if you're here in New York, Channel 25 is also available on smart TV sets and smart devices like Amazon Fire TV, Roku, Google TV, sets with Google TV, et cetera. As soon as we get the dates for the June premiere, we'll let Michaela know and we'll invite her to come on the program. I think you will find her absolutely marvelous. And you can also catch Michaela around the country on PBS stations, so check your local listings for where it's located. And check out her website. I believe it's barefeet.com or barefeet.org, as well as NYC Live's website and PBS at pbs.org. So, again, thank you, Dancing Classrooms, for a great Wednesday night. And keep on keeping on making your dancing outreach more available to kids. Because, like I said before, with Harry Belafonte, boy, do we need this now more than ever. Again, I want to thank Randy Kleiner from SiriusXM for joining us in the first half hour. Thank all of you for tuning in. Thanks to all of our guests for being here this past week for our 4 episodes. Our next episode will be 1 week from today, May 5th, and joining us will be the Chief Executive Officer of Invincible Entertainment and a new multi-channel bundle where if you watch it regularly, you can get paid for it, and you get paid more if you make recommendations and talk it up in social media. Thomas Ashley, the Chief CEO of Invincible Entertainment, will be one of our guests. So be sure to be with us for our next episode, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern New Pacific, here on Suave Televised. The Cable Land Space program, want to catch up episodes you missed for an entire month. And before that, go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our website. Check out our podcast. We love hearing from you. What do you think about our episode today and our episodes this week and month? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. However you get to us, we get back to you within 24 hours. That's our promise, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants, not those of the Blog Talk Radio and distributors of this program. Andy Toe is BeatChar's General Manager. Jay Thonberg, Head of Content. Website survived by On Podium, the Internet's Great Podcast Outlook. Scars Vegas is our web coordinator. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a fantastic weekend. We are back 1 week from today, Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, and all of our podcast web destinations. Whatever you're doing now and then, please make it safe and make it great for you and others you love. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.